chairman of the deacon board came up and asked me did I want an induction, and I told him no. Because the truth of the matter is there's nothing special about me, but it's all about Jesus. Giving honor to God, who is first in my life, to the angel of this house and none other than Reverend Armstrong, to the clergy and all of the ministers, to the officers, to its members, and all of God's children, I greet you this morning with Jesus' joy. The joy that I have, the world didn't give it, and the world can't take it away. I also give honor to this awesome choir. Amen. To the individuals on the instruments, Minister Robinson, to my good brother back there, and I know that Brother Teal was here, and also to the worship leader and Deacon Goff. But I also give honor and praise. I have a brother in the house today, my brother John, my younger brother. Come on and stand up and let him see a part of the McBride family. Amen. And I saved the best for last. I want to let you know that some of you that may not have seen us together in a while, we still married and together. Amen. And it is none other than my lovely, beautiful, and only wife. Come on, somebody. Come on. Don't wave your hand. Stand up. Come on now. Stand up. For those of you that I see often are always asking me, how is Sister Brenda doing? You can ask her for yourself today. In the name of Jesus. Brothers and sisters, there is a word from the Lord. And I ask that you would stand with me and turn to the book of 1 Kings, the 3rd chapter. And for your hearing, I want to read from verses 5 through 9 and then skip down to 14. In the name of Jesus. And actually, we're going to skip down to verse number 15. I also want to give honor to all of you. You all are special in our lives. I brag about Shiloh Baptist Church all the time. Anytime that we come back and see you all, there is just so much love. And I thank you all for that. A couple special shout outs. I see my good friend over there, Michael White. He's still hanging up. He's still holding up the wall over there. And someone that is a dear mother to me that I don't see all the time, but I think of her in prayers, and I know she prays for me, is none other than Philistine Chester. Amen. Amen. If you have the Bibles, 1 Kings chapter 3, starting at verse number 5, the Word of God reads as follows. 1 Kings chapter number 3, starting at verse number 5. If you have it, say amen.
Amen.
The Word of God reads as follows. In Gibeon, the Lord appeared to Solomon in a dream by night. And God said, ask what I shall give thee. And Solomon says, thou hast showed unto thy servant David, my father, great mercy, according as he walked before thee in truth and in righteousness and in uprightness of heart with thee. And thou hast kept from him this great kindness, that thou hast given him a son to sit on his throne, as it is this day. And now, O Lord my God, thou hast made thy servant king instead of David my father. And I am but a little child. I know not how to go out or come in. And thy servant is in the midst of thy people, which thou hast chosen, a great people that cannot be numbered or counted for multitude. Give therefore thy servant an understanding heart to judge thy people, that I may discern between good and bad. For who is able to judge this thy so great people? Verse 15. And Solomon awoke, and behold, it was a dream. And he came to Jerusalem and stood before the ark of the covenant of the Lord, and offered up burnt offerings, and offered peace offerings, and made a feast to all his servants. This is the word of God for the people of God. Let us all say amen.
Amen.
I ask, congregation, that you would pray with me on this title and this thought. A dream and a prayer. A dream and a prayer. And then I would also like to use this as a subtitle. Maybe I'm still dreaming. Maybe I'm still dreaming. Let us pray. Father God, in the name of Jesus, have thine way. Speak like never before. Grant us ears to hear what the Spirit is saying unto the church. And Father God, as I stand on this holy ground and this sacred, behind this sacred desk, hide me behind your cross. Let every word that proceeds out of my mouth, O God, let it be of you and none of my own. Hide right now, God. And then, Father God, by your Spirit, I pray that you would use this empty vessel and these clay lips to proclaim your word, that somebody would be convicted unto salvation. And then, Father God, for those of us that have already confessed and believed, a closer walk with thee. Have thine way, Holy Ghost, in Jesus' name. Let us all say amen.
Amen.
Amen. A dream and a prayer. Maybe I'm still dreaming. Beloved of God, I've come this morning to reiterate, to repeat that God not only hears our prayers, but he answers them. James 5:16 says, the effectual fervent prayers of the righteous man availeth much. But let me say from the outset, not every prayer is effectual and fervent in the name of Jesus. I don't know, brothers and sisters, if you realize it or not, but Satan and his hosts have become bolder than ever before. John 10:10 says, the thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. But I won't leave out the end of the verse because it says, but I come that they may have life, and that they may have it more abundantly. The prince of this world is using people to even shoot down airplanes. If you've noticed it or not, brothers and sisters, even Trenton, New Jersey, and all of the major cities all over the country are on lockdown in the name of Jesus. But not only that, brothers and sisters, our children have gone astray. Where is God's people? Where is the affection and the fervency of prayer? My Bible is clear. It says that it avails much.
Yes.
And I didn't come to give the devil any credence today because I serve a God who has all power.
Yes.
And I heard it said, he that is in me and you that is greater than he that is in the world. You and I have somebody called the Holy Ghost. We got power.
Yes.
But what are we praying for? We're even living in a time that everybody that stands behind the sacred desk and wear robes, we're not called, they just went. The church has become a place when folk can't get anything done at home, on the job, or eat, no matter where else, but they come to church.
Watch
out. For a position, for status.
Amen.
But where is the servitude?
Well,
in the name of Jesus. Effectual and fervency of prayer. 2 Chronicles 7:14 says it this way, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven, great God from Zion, and will forgive their sin, and will hear their land. I don't know who is saved and who isn't. Only God knows. But this scripture, this text, this world, I believe that God left it in our control. Come on, somebody. I can go back to the Old Testament when he called the Israelites. There was nothing fancy about them. Matter of fact, they were the smallest tribal nation in the land. But he chose them that they may go out and draw others to God. No different for you and I today, brothers and sisters, when I look at the book of Matthew in the 28th chapter, the Great Commission, that tells you and I to go out and make disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things. Come on, somebody. As I have taught you. Somewhere along the way, brothers and sisters, we done got too fat on the land. And we have forgotten who Jesus is. You all have to excuse me today. Not, I came with joy, I'm going to leave with joy. But I also come with a heart and a spirit that's aching. Because when I look around, and I'm not talking about the streets right now, when I look around at the universal church, it is not what God has called. And I can go ahead and say it because I, Brother Robinson, I'm going back to my church in a couple hours. There's something about freedom when you're visiting somebody else's church. Come on, somebody. But the truth must be told that lives may be so saved in the name of Jesus. But brothers and sisters, it also says, let me say it this way too, that the Bible says that we should always pray and faint not. But the other side of praying that I'm concerned about is when we pray, what are you asking for? What are you asking for? Solomon, when we get into this text, Solomon has done something in this passage that we have gotten so far away from. As a matter of fact, the reason why I stated when we had intercessory prayer, before you ask God for anything, pray for somebody else. Because I learned a long time ago, our blessings come when we put other folk before us. And the truth of the matter is, if you sure enough got God as much as you say you got him, you don't even have to ask him for anything. He already knows what you stand in the need of. But I understand why we ask him, because we ask him because we don't truly believe that he's going to do it. Come on, somebody. Y'all have to excuse me. I like that little expression. I got that from Red. And why shouldn't I? I'm a son of the church. In the name of Jesus. What we ask for. 1 John 5:14 says, now this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. The question is, are we praying according to his will? Or our will in the name of Jesus. Don't get me wrong. There's nothing wrong with asking God for anything. Matter of fact, Matthew 7:7 says, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. As a matter of fact, there's nothing wrong with praying for a better job or a job period. Nothing wrong with praying for a spouse or more money or bigger homes or bigger cars. Nothing wrong with praying for our children that they would be successful as God matures and grows them. But how many of us, not only for those who we pray for, but even ourselves, how many of us ask God in all of my getting? How many of us ask for wisdom? Come on, somebody. As a matter of fact, James 1:5 said it's free. You just got to ask for it. And he says, if any one of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives liberally. Right. Come on, somebody. Right. And without reproach. Uh-huh. And he will give it be given unto him. The truth of the matter, brothers and sisters, the problem that we're facing today in Christian doom is that God is still blessing, but we don't know what to do with the blessings. Because we don't use God's wisdom. Some of y'all got some amens and some of y'all just quiet. In the name of Jesus. Nothing wrong with praying. Matter of fact, you ought to pray. You ought to always have the communication line open to God. As a matter of fact, we ought to do more communicating with God than anybody else. I declare, brothers and sisters, if we got off the phone talking about one another and cutting people down, and on our bending knees, and every now and then, depending on where you're at in your life, it's all right to get prostrate before God. It's all right to get low, church. In the name of Jesus. It's all right to pray. It's all right to ask. But if you don't have God's wisdom when he gives it to you, how is it going to be a blessing to you and I? In the name of Jesus. My God. Proverbs 4:7 says, wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom. And in all of your getting, get some understanding. If you have no wisdom and no understanding, God's blessings will come in and they'll leave you. And you'll never even understand that it was from God. Come on, somebody. God is a blessed God. I found out not only will he see about your needs, but he'll even give you some of the desires of your heart. And let me just say it this way. If I had 10,000 tongues, come on, somebody. But with this one that I have, I came to give God some glory today. Because the truth of the matter is, if he don't do anything else, he's already done enough. And matter of fact, he's done so much already that I got enough to thank him for the rest of my life. He's been good, church. Matter of fact, he's been better than good. When I look back over my life before he put a robe on me, I was a mess, sinking in sin. But one day he picked me up and turned me around and put my feet on solid ground. If you see me driving between Pennsylvania and Bordentown back and forth from the church, and you look in the car and you don't see but one head, but you see me talking, I'm talking to the Lord. All right. I've learned to thank him at all times. I don't have a problem with throwing up my hands in the car. Come on, somebody. I don't have a problem with taking my right foot and keeping it on the gas and patting my left foot on the floorboard. Come on, somebody. And if he get real good to me while I'm in there, every now and again my body will shift one way, come back the other way. And then the whole time I'm just glorifying God. Anybody know what I'm talking about? My God. Let me give it to you this way. Proverbs 4:7 in the NIV says it this way. Getting wisdom is the wisest thing that you can do. And whatever else you do, develop good judgment. Proverbs 1:7 says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. But fools despise wisdom and instruction. In the name of Jesus. With godly wisdom, you and I will always handle the blessings of God. when I was putting this, when the Lord was dealing with me on this morning, when I thought about the blessings and not being able to handle it, I thought about that movie. Anybody remember that movie, A Few Good Men? When Lieutenant Coffey, who played by Tom Cruise, and Colonel Jessup, who was Jack Nicklaus, when it came to the climax of that movie, Lieutenant Caffey turned and said to the colonel, "We just want the truth." Saints of God, God is looking for the truth. But then Colonel Jessup turned back to him and stood up and said to him in a loud vocal voice, "You can't handle the truth." Brothers and sisters, if you don't have wisdom and understanding, you can't handle God's blessings. In the name of Jesus, a dream and a prayer. If you take a close look at this text, the Bible is clear beginning, in matter of fact, in verse number 4, it talks about Solomon going to Gibeon and sacrificing thousands of animals. In verse number 5, it starts with a dream. If you do your research, what you'll find out, some theologians say it was the same night or it was the next night that Solomon went to sleep and the Lord visited him. Come on, somebody. Anybody still got some dreams where the Lord visits you? But not only did he visit him, he stopped by a little while and he said to him, he said to Solomon, verse number 6, and Solomon said, "Thou hast showed unto thy servant David, my father, great mercy, according as he walked before thee in truth and in righteousness and in uprightness of heart of thee. And thou hast kept for him this great kindness, that thou hast given him a son to sit on his throne. And as it is this day," verse number 7, "and now the Lord my God," here Solomon starts to pray, "thou hast made my servant king instead of David my father. And I am but a little child. And I know not how to go out and to come in." Brothers and sisters, if you want to receive God's blessing and his wisdom, the book of Matthew tells us that we got to be like children. Now here's a problem for a lot of us. Because of our experiences and making a little bit of money and got a little house on the hill, we don't become sophisticated. Come on, somebody. But God is looking for some childlike attitudes and some dispositions that we become teachable. Simplicity. Come on, somebody. See, we done made religion difficult. God made it easy. All you got to do is have an ear to hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. Anybody has heard God's quiet voice whispering lately? If you haven't heard it, it's because your schedule is all clogged up. Well, every now and then, you need to get to a quiet place. Yes. A place where there's no distractions. Even when spouses, you can have them go in another room. Children, you got to tell them to go outside and play, because I got to spend some time before God, because I need to hear a word. Let me be certain today. It's great to come to get a word on Sunday, but you better learn how to get one on Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday. A lot of folk, I hear him say, "Minister Robinson, that they don't hear from God, then you ain't reading the Bible." Because he speaks loud and clear. I tell folk all the time, I don't care what situation you're going through or what troubles you're going through, in these 66 books, there's a prescription in there for every situation that you and I go through. But just like when we go to the doctor and get a prescription, you got to open your word. Come on, somebody. My Bible tells me out of 2 Timothy 2:15, study to show yourself approved, a workman under God, not needeth to be ashamed, but rightly dividing the word of truth. Who's reading the word? Because part of wisdom, knowledge, is reading God's word and getting direction. Come on, somebody. You can forget about them tabloids in the newspaper. If you read it long enough, the devil's reading it right along with you. Let me make it plain, contaminating your spirit. As a matter of fact, let me go a little closer to home. You need to watch your friends, because everybody ain't talking Jesus Christ. In the name of Jesus. Some folk just come around to contaminate you so you can be just like them. Come on, somebody. My Bible tells me that I'm set apart. I'm in the world, but I'm not of the world. Come on, somebody. I'm sanctified. You can keep that dignified stuff. I just want to be sanctified. Come on, somebody. Text moves on and it says, but being a child, who is willing to be a child for the king? And let me be plain to somebody who may not understand that. He's not asking you and I to stop being men and women. He's asking us to have the attitude of a child. When we were children, we didn't do anything. We depended on our parents, on everything. And he wants you and I to depend on him. In the name of Jesus. Children. Then he's saying, verse number 8, it says, and by thy servant is in the midst of thy people, which thou hast chosen, a great people that cannot be numbered or counted or multiplied. Give therefore thy servant an understanding heart. That word understanding in this text means a heart that can hear what Jesus, what God, the Spirit is saying to you and I. Because the truth of the matter, the Spirit of God is talking all the time. All the time. Even when you shut him out and don't want to hear him, he's still talking. In the name of, and an understanding heart. Because Solomon said, I need an understanding heart in order to judge the people. That I may discern between good and bad. And isn't it interesting, brothers and sisters, we live in a time and in a society where right is wrong. And wrong is right. And we have stooped to the level that because we want to be a part of the in crowd, that we, when it's come time to stand up for God, we'll take a back seat. In other words, we'll compromise just to save faith with mankind. But let me remind you, he's everywhere at the same time. He sees everything. He hears everything. And I don't know about you. I wouldn't compromise on a God who wakes me up every morning. Who puts food on my table. Gives me strength to get up. Come on, somebody. Let me make it plain. You and I did not get up on our own this morning. God spoke from the heavens and said, let there be life in the name of Jesus. We've taken it for granted that getting up every morning is just the coup of the day. Let me tell you something. If you're looking for a miracle, that's a miracle. If you're looking for a miracle, the miracle started this morning when you got up. And I don't know about you all, brothers and sisters. The older I get, the more I learn how to praise him even when I get up. I can remember a time I used to be able to just jump up, hit the floor, and keep on running. Come on, somebody. But now when I get up, I check and make sure everything is still working. Come on, somebody. And then when I fall over the side of the bed and put my feet on the floor, before I move, I check and make sure everything's still working. Used to get up and just start running. Now I look to make sure ain't nothing in front of me. Come on, somebody. Because not only is my health not the same, I don't see the same anymore either. Come on, somebody. In the name of Jesus. I learned to take the little things and thank God. It's called Wisdom Church. When I go into the bathroom to bathe, when I turn the cold water on, thank you. when I turn the hot water on, especially when you're taking a shower, double thank you. When I can go downstairs and got a few victuals in the kitchen or in the refrigerator, thank you. I don't know about you all, but I can only speak for myself. I ain't never went hungry. My wife and I were at another church yesterday at a gathering, and the pastor was telling me he could remember the time when he says the best sandwich you could get is a piece of bread slice up some tomatoes and put some whipped cream on it. I told him, Sister Betty, I don't know nothing about that. All my life, I always had some kind of meat between that bread. Come on, somebody. But listen to me, church. I may joke about it, but I'm serious. When you realize how good God has been to you, it's easy to praise God. It's easy to hold up sanctified hands. It's easy to pat your feet every now and then. It's easy. See, I don't have to come to the church house to be primed to praise God. I started praising him last night, getting ready for today. Come on, somebody. Matter of fact, when I went to bed last night, I asked God, I said, even right now, God, as I'm sleeping, put a praise in my heart for tomorrow. In the name of Jesus. Solomon. Solomon says that I may discern between good and bad. For who is able to judge this, thy so great a people? My God. Wisdom and understanding. And brothers and sisters, the same thing that God asked Solomon, he's asking you and I. What can I do for you? What can I do for you? And the reason why God, the Bible says that he was overjoyed with what he answered and says, give me discernment, because brothers and sisters, it would have been easy for him to ask for riches or to dispel of his enemies. But how many of us know when you got God on your side? Vengeance is mine, says the Lord. You just keep your hand in God's hand. And God will take care of your enemies. I'm witnessing it every day. Those who want to talk about you and persecute you, just keep your hand in God's hand. What can I do? And the reason why God put so much favor on Solomon is because God realized that Solomon was more interested in the people than he was himself. Come on, somebody. And brothers and sisters, we got too many folks on the pulpit and in the pews that are more concerned about self than anybody else. I learned a long time ago, if you want to get blessed, you better learn how to be a blessing. In the name of Jesus. And the Bible says not only was God happy with what he asked for, the Bible said he turned around and gave him riches anyhow. Come on, somebody. Because when we walk before God circumspectly, God not only will take care of our needs, he'll automatically give you some desires of your heart. Come on, somebody. And how many of us knows this for a fact? Have you ever asked God for something and he wind up giving you more than you asked for? Come on, somebody. Or we serve a good God. And when I pray, no matter whatever I ask for, I say, God, give me the wisdom and the knowledge to handle what you've given me. In the name of Jesus. Oh, he's good. Oh, he's better than good. And brothers and sisters, if you don't believe it, he's coming back one day. My Bible tells me he died on Friday. Buried in a borrowed tomb Friday night. Stayed in the grave Friday and Saturday, but early on Sunday morning. He got up with all power in his hand. But don't let me stop there, because the story don't stop there for saved saints. Because it's not enough that he got up on Sunday morning. I don't know about you and all the hell that I'm going through down here. I'm looking for his appearance when he comes back again. My Bible said he's coming back, church. And I don't know about you. I already got my ticket stamped. I'm already ready when he comes back. I got the Holy Ghost that seals me. I don't have to worry when he comes back. You can have all the dreams you want, but the one that you got to answer is, when he come back, will you be ready? Will you be ready? I'm done, church. I just stopped by to tell everybody, stop playing church. Because every knee shall bow, and every tongue gonna confess unto God for every deed that was done in these bodies. I believe, just like Jesus with 12 disciples, he didn't need a whole crowd to revolutionize the world. He just needed a few folk. You and I can change the world. Because we got power. I don't pray for power anymore, because I got power in the Holy Ghost. Just give me wisdom and understanding, God, how to work out my own salvation in the name of Jesus. Come on, does anybody love him today? I mean, sure enough, love him. Is everybody ready? In the name of Jesus. Let all of God's children say amen. Yes. Come on, amen one more time. Yes. Hallelujah for the Holy Ghost. Yes. Everybody stand. Amen. Brothers and sisters, this is the most important part of the service. Is when the doors of the church are opened. God's word is going forth. Now who has heard what thus says the Lord? Is there one this morning who does not know Jesus Christ and the pardon of their sins? Is there one? Is there one? Is there one today? Let me ask this question also. You may be already saved and sanctified, but you don't have a church home. But God sent you by Shiloh today. And he has spoken to your heart and says, come, give Reverend Armstrong your hand, but give God your heart. Is there one today? Is there one?
I feel.
Is there one?